Hey, welcome back to Unzip, the show where we crack open the latest AI and ML research papers and pull out what actually matters. Big thanks to our sponsors, Ada, which bridges the gap between research and production AI, Ago Consulting, that's Ago, your go-to for silicon development from AI chips to full SoC design, and Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella company with a whole portfolio of silicon industry companies, including Ada for deploying AI at scale, turning your research models into production inference with their Glow compiler. All right, today we're unpacking five papers covering loop engineering for coding agents, long-term memory in video generation, agentic artifact creation, robot action learning, and small model dialogue agents. Let's get into it. First up, Loopernia, and this one is squarely aimed at anyone who's been building or thinking about building agent pipelines around coding tasks. So the problem here is something practitioners are running into more and more. You've got a capable coding agent, maybe powered by a strong LLM, and you've wrapped it in what the authors call a loop. Essentially, the orchestration layer that monitors progress, assigns subtasks, runs checks, decides when to stop, manages budget. And the question is, how good is that loop as a controller? Not how good is the underlying model, but how good is the runtime logic around it? The insight the authors are driving at is a really important one. The final outcome of a single end-to-end run tells you almost nothing about where your loop is failing. Did it stop too early? Did it trust a stale progress note and spiral in the wrong direction? Did it blow its token budget on the wrong subtask? You can't tell from the final pass or fail score alone. That's the core gap Loopernia is trying to fill. So what they built is a benchmark, Loopernia specifically designed to evaluate models acting as runtime controllers for loop engineering. And the key methodological move is granular, step-level evaluation rather than just end-to-end scoring. They're looking at intermediate decisions. Did the controller correctly assess progress? Did it trigger verification at the right time? Did it allocate effort sensibly? These are the kinds of questions that matter in production, but that existing benchmarks just don't probe. What they found is that even models that look strong on standard coding benchmarks can be surprisingly weak loop controllers. They make specific failure modes visible. Things like over-trusting stale state, premature termination, and poor budget allocation, and these failure modes are consistent and diagnosable. That's huge for practitioners, because now you have a vocabulary and a measurement framework for debugging your pipeline rather than just throwing your hands up when an agent run goes sideways. The practical takeaway here is pretty direct. If you're building coding agent loops, and a lot of teams are right now, this benchmark gives you a way to evaluate the controller logic separately from the underlying model capability. You can ablate your loop design choices, compare different orchestration strategies, and actually know what you're optimizing. This is the kind of infrastructure the field has needed, and it's exciting to see it formalized. Okay, paper two, ring forcing, and this one is about video generation, specifically the long-term memory problem in autoregressive video diffusion models. Autoregressive here means the model generates video chunk by chunk, conditioning each new segment on what came before, similar in spirit to how LLMs generate text token by token. The problem is that as you try to scale to longer and longer videos, these models start forgetting things, and not in a subtle way. The authors break the long-term memory problem into two distinct failure modes, which I think is a really clean framing. First, object permanence. If a character or object leaves the frame and comes back later, does the model reproduce it accurately? Second, memory capacity. Can the model actually process and use information from way back in the video's history? And crucially, they argue you need both. Great object permanence without long context handling limits how far back you can remember. Long context without precise object reproduction means you remember something existed, but you render it wrong. Ring forcing is their solution, and the name is evocative once you understand what it does. The core idea is a structured conditioning mechanism that forces the model to maintain precise references to earlier frames, specifically to the appearance of objects, and loops that reference signal back through the generation process in a ring-like fashion. It's essentially a memory architecture bolted onto the diffusion model that makes historical visual information a first-class input rather than something implicitly compressed into a context window. The results they report are compelling. On object permanence benchmarks, ring forcing significantly outperforms baseline autoregressive video diffusion approaches. And on ultra-long video generation, we're talking sequences far beyond what current models handle gracefully. They demonstrate that the model can actually leverage distant history rather than just forgetting it. The visual consistency improvements are qualitatively obvious too, which is always a good sign when you're doing video work. For practitioners working on video generation or even thinking about it, the key insight is architectural. You can't just scale context windows and hope memory emerges. You need explicit mechanisms that preserve and propagate specific visual information over time. Ring forcing is one concrete answer to that. And even if you don't adopt it wholesale, the framing of separating object permanence from memory capacity is useful for diagnosing where your own models are breaking down. All right, paper three is a survey paper, agentic artifact creation, and I know some people tune out at survey paper, but stick with me because this one is genuinely useful as a conceptual map of a space that's moving really fast. The core question they're asking is, when can AI systems go beyond generating a draft to actually constructing a complete dependable deliverable? That distinction draft versus deliverable is doing a lot of work here. The term they're using, agentic artifact creation, has a specific definition they're careful about. It's stateful construction, meaning the system maintains state across steps where intermediate observations redirect later work. So it's not just generate an image from a prompt, it's build a thing iteratively where what you see halfway through changes what you do next. That's a meaningful distinction from one-shot generation, and it's closer to how real creative and engineering work actually happens. What the survey does is lay out a systems-level view of this process. They identify the functional components, planning, execution, observation, revision, and map out how current systems implement each. They also look at evaluation frameworks, which is a perennial pain point in this space because it's genuinely hard to measure whether an artifact is good in an automated way. And they catalog the failure modes. Where do agentic systems over-revise, under-revise, lose coherence, or fail to respect constraints? The principles section is where I think this paper earns its keep for practitioners. They distill patterns about what makes agentic artifact pipelines actually work in practice. Things around observation granularity, when to loop back versus when to commit, and how to structure the feedback signal so the agent has enough information to self-correct without getting paralyzed. These aren't just theoretical, they're grounded in analysis of real systems. The opportunities section is also worth reading if you're thinking about where to do research or build products in this space. They identify gaps around multi-artifact coordination, like when generating one artifact depends on another, and around long-horizon revision where the system has to maintain coherent intent across many edit cycles. If you're an ML engineer thinking about what to work on next, this survey is a solid orientation tool. Paper 4, Act with Intent, and this one is about robotics, specifically about making vision language action models better at learning from demonstrations. VLA models, as they're called, take in visual and language inputs and output motor commands, robot actions. The standard way to train the action decoder part of these models is behavior cloning, which basically means supervised learning on demonstrated actions. Here's what a human did in this situation, learn to copy it. The problem the authors identify is subtle but important. Behavior cloning tells the model which motor command was executed, but it doesn't tell the model why, what local objective that action was serving, was the robot reaching toward the object. Preparing to grasp, correcting for a slight misalignment? The why is implicit, and that matters because actions that look similar on the surface might be serving completely different intents depending on context. There have been attempts to enrich this supervision with what they call future-based signals, predicting future frames, future trajectories, future latent states to give the model more to learn from. But the authors argue these signals capture one particular realization of what might happen, which is too specific. The same intent could be realized in many different ways depending on the exact situation. Their solution is to distill behavior intent as an explicit intermediate representation. Rather than predicting specific future observations, they train the model to represent the abstract local objective, the intent behind the demonstrated behavior. Okay. This is done through a distillation process where intent representations are extracted and used to condition the action decoder, giving it access to the why without being locked into a specific what will happen next. The results show meaningful improvements on robot manipulation benchmarks, with the intent-conditioned model generalizing better to novel situations compared to standard behavior cloning and future prediction baselines. The intuition makes sense. If the model understands intent, it can adapt its specific actions to context rather than just pattern matching to demonstrations. For practitioners building robot learning pipelines, this is a nice design principle. Think about what intermediate representation captures the semantic level of supervision that's currently missing from your training signal. Last paper, acquire, repair, preserve, and this one is about small models doing interactive dialogue games. Specifically, they're working with a 2B parameter open weight model, which is quite small by current standards, and they're testing it on the LM Play School Challenge, which is a set of interactive dialogue games that require the model to carry state across turns, interpret feedback, and choose valid actions under changing constraints. The framing here is really interesting. Interactive dialogue games are, as the authors put it, testing a capability that static benchmarks largely leave implicit. A model can be great at answering questions in isolation but terrible at maintaining a coherent strategy over a multi-turn game where the rules are dynamic and previous guesses are on the record. That gap between static benchmark performance and interactive performance is a real and underappreciated problem. What makes this paper distinctive is the diagnostic approach. Rather than just throwing training data at the model and hoping it improves, they first diagnose the failure modes in detail. And what they find is that many failures aren't about broad knowledge gaps, they're local decision failures, repeated guesses when a guess has already been ruled out, malformed action outputs, violating feedback constraints that the model literally just received in the previous turn. These are different kinds of failures and they need different fixes. The acquire, repair, preserve recipe they develop is a post-training approach structured around these diagnostics. Acquire means getting the model to learn the basic action space and game mechanics. Repair targets the specific local failure modes they identified, essentially surgical fine-tuning on the error patterns. Preserve is about making sure the repair steps don't catastrophically degrade the model's other capabilities, which is a real risk when you're fine-tuning a 2B model aggressively. The results are impressive for the model size. They get substantial improvements on the dialogue game tasks without trashing general capabilities. And honestly, the methodological contribution here might be more valuable than the numbers. The idea of diagnosing failure modes first and then designing targeted post-training interventions is a pattern that should generalize well beyond dialogue games. If you're working with small models on any interactive or constrained task, this diagnosis before training approach is worth stealing. And that's all 5 papers for today. A really eclectic mix covering agent orchestration, video memory, artifact creation systems, robot learning, and small model interactive agents. Huge thanks again to our sponsors, Ada for bridging research and production AI, Ago Consulting, Ago for silicon development expertise, and Zen Semiconductor and their portfolio of silicon industry companies, with Ada powering production AI inference through the Glow compiler. If you want more of this kind of coverage, check out our sister show Git News AI in the Ada Podcast Network. It's a great complement to what we do here. Links to all 5 papers are in the show notes. If you're not subscribed yet, now is a great time. New episodes drop regularly, and we're not slowing down. See you next time on Unzip.